Welcome to Shift with CJ. I'm your host CJ, and together we will explore the areas of health, human performance, biohacking, psychology, and much more that will inspire you to become the best version of yourself. Hello friends, and happy Friday. I'm here in Dubai, back to Dubai actually, in the office, just a regular day, walking on my treadmill. Yep, that's how we do it. And for the first time, I'm trying barefoot shoes. And these barefoot shoes, let me tell you, is like a game changer. Seriously, I have been recently understanding more about foot health, and this is a game changer. But that's for some other episode. Now, if you hear some voices, we're going to try to cancel the voice, but if you hear some treadmill noise, I'm sorry. Today, I want to share some of the most powerful lessons that I've been recently learning. Again, not frameworks, not thoughts, not ideas. These are things that have been happening for the last 2 weeks. Actually, some of them I got exposed to when I was in New York as well. And I am really, really embracing them. You're going to learn things about power, about performance, about math, about a cool story about Warren Buffett as well. So hang in tight. This is not going to be a science episode. It's going to be more of a life episode. So wherever you are, whether you're like me on the treadmill, you're in the traffic, you're in the gym, or you're just chilling, I hope this episode gives you something that you can learn, understand, implement, and it shifts your perspective so you can be just 1% better this week. So if you're with me, let's dive in. Now, I have been reflecting on one of the quotes from Krishna from the Uddhava Gita, and he said something like this. It really stuck with me, this one. Don't mistake the play of power for the source of power. And that's our first lesson for today. If you think deep enough, it might hit you. In today's world, we are always confused by what looks powerful. By looks powerful, the most common thing is that watching someone on social media with a blue tick, with flashy lifestyle, and you think that they have made it, right? But is that the source of power? Or is that just a play of power that this person is exhibiting? So that's going to be our lesson for today. Don't mistake the play of power for the source of power. Now, again, think about it this way. Let me find a better example. We live in a world which is obsessed with things like appearance, titles, status, followers, wealth, muscles, health, noise, attention. But the true power is always quiet. It's not on the outside, it's on the inside. And true power doesn't need a spotlight. The play of power, the things that look powerful, yeah, they're like the fruits, but they're not the source. And one of the other things is, the only destiny of a fruit is for it to rot. So forget about the fruit, protect your root. For example, think of a candle and its flame burning. The flame is just a performance, but the real source is actually the wax that's inside. You look at some powerful CEO in a cool suit outside, you know, maybe leaving a Bentley, but that's just a play of power. The source of power is hours of reading, taking hard decisions every day, not sleeping at night, especially when no one is watching. When people, I'll take my example. A lot of people see me and they think, oh, he's got a fit body, he must have so much of discipline. That's the play of power, but the true source is what I do behind the scenes. Like right now, I'm not even sitting at a desk because I really value my health at a core level. We get hypnotized usually by performance and we forget the engine in a car. Like we forget the engine behind it. We always go for the looks. Like think about, for example, Steve Jobs. Now, Steve Jobs was a genius on stage, right? And he was so presentative, but his real power actually came from curiosity. His attention to detail was crazy, and his obsession behind all of his products, the iPad, the iPod, all of these things were crazy. Elon Musk, you see him now, everyone's heard of him because he's tweeting all the time, but He's not powerful because of his tweets. He's powerful because of years of studying rocket science, physics, and doing nearly 100 hours a week that no one saw. He even slept on his factory floor. And I love how Naval Ravikant puts it. He puts it like playing the long-term games is often good with long-term people, because long-term games aren't really sexy. But what is really sexy that happens is the compounding that happens over the years silently. So why do we do this? Actually, if you ask a psychologist, they'll tell you it's the halo effect. We assume that someone who looks successful and powerful in all areas is actually great in all areas. But how often do we ask the question, what principles are they living by? How do they think, or how do they act when no one is watching? What are their, for lack of a better word, invisible habits? These things, how reality is projected, is just as like surface level truths. But the real, real power that really changes things is actually deep within. Those things, you don't even need to show it. One of the biggest lessons from Krishna was, be detached from any outcome that you do. That's the part about this, is that the power isn't in what you get. The power is in who you're becoming. Other concepts in Hinduism and Buddhism talk about similar concepts like Maya, the illusion. What most of us are chasing is not really a power. It's actually projection. Even if you read Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu says, all streams that flow to the sea because they are actually lower than they are. This one is a bit complex to understand, so let me just simplify it down. Power always flows to those who don't need to prove it. If you want to keep going out there and proving things all the time, man, that's not real power. Brothers and sisters, you need a reality check. You are jumping into the illusion. You're jumping into the Maya. So don't do me a favor. Do yourselves a favor today and ask yourself, are you actually chasing appearance of power, or you're actually cultivating the source of power? Are you going out there and building flashy things, or you're actually investing in yourself and becoming unshakable in your business, in your life, in your health, in your relationships? Stop trying to look powerful. Flip the script and actually start being powerful. And I mean, I'm talking to you from my office. Like, even what we are doing really at Biohacking is some of these principles are embedded in it. Yes, of course, we make high performance wellness equipment, wellness gear, but we don't just sell the look of recovery. We love to engineer the sort of like things that will actually have a biggest impact on your nervous system, detox your organs, upgrade your mitochondria. It's not the play of power, it's actually the source of power, which is deep within your cells. That is your mitochondria. And that's why people actually feel different after using our equipment. They feel, I don't want to use this word, but for a lack of a better word, they feel healed, transformed, you know, back in the game. So the lesson that I learned from the last few weeks is that don't compare yourselves to others, whether on Instagram, whether in your business, wherever. Just don't compare yourself with others. And every time you want to compare someone, just pause and ask yourself, is that the play of power, or is that the source of power? And then go back, build your source of power, and build it silently, build it consistently, and build it powerfully. Because real power doesn't show off, it actually radiates. So be the one who does things where you radiate. Now, we're talking about the sources of power and all of these things. Let me tell you something else that I've been geeking out on recently. Super interesting theory, has been there for years and millennia. And it's the idea that the universe has a language, and it's not the one that you're thinking of. From the golden ratio in your face, to the architecture, from everything, there is a formula, there is a language that the universe speaks. So the next lesson for today is the language of the universe is math and ratios. Think about it. Close your eyes. I've been thinking about it a lot. There, if you're outside, let's say you go to Hatta, you go to Fujairah, or you go wherever, you look at nature, you look at beauty, you look at design, you look at something that feels amazing, right? There's something to be said about that. So that's the language of how universe is. The universe doesn't speak English. In my case, the universe doesn't speak Hindi or Punjabi or even Arabic. It speaks math, but not just math, not just numbers, ratios, patterns, proportions, sequences. These things, they keep repeating itself. Your DNA, one of them. The galaxies, one of them. A great product design, one of them. A beautiful face, one of them. There's math behind everything. And there's so much of research going on right now. Sorry, my mic is just falling down. Anyway, and they call this the golden ratio. Now, the golden ratio, or known as pi, or 1 to the ratio of 1.618, which we learned in math school, or like just normal elementary school, this ratio often comes up in ancient architectures. If you go, even hurricanes have this ratio. The leaves have this ratio. In fact, studies show us that the more closer you are to these ratios, the more people perceive you as being safe, as being attractive, as being someone they would want to do business with. And also like the radiation, not the radiation as like the EMF radiation, but the way you radiate, the better you are at having this golden ratio, your body radiates different way. And why does this? Because subconsciously as well, our brain is wired to seek out symmetry and proportion. Because as soon as you look at symmetry, it feels safe. It feels right. It feels like it's meant to be. A lot of the times, symmetry, like I'm into health and wellness, and of course, like, you know, gym and all those things. And of course, some of the bodybuilders and stuff, they have crazy ratios. But like, if you see, there is certain ratios between men and women as well, which are seen favorable by, I don't want to get any hate from this, but this is studied ratios. 1.6 ratio, shoulder to waist ratio, 1.8 shoulder to health ratio actually increases your longevity, your strength, and your fertility as well. So you see, your brain is actually always calculating without you even realizing it. When you listen to some really, really good music, the most addictive melodies on the planet also have Fibonacci patterns. They have harmonic intervals. Math is behind everything, from the excitement that you see outside to the to every literal goosebump that you have ever felt. In nature, trees always grow in this Fibonacci pattern. Flower petals will go into a numerical sequence, and bees often make this perfect hexagonal. Let me adjust the camera a little bit. So bees will, okay, camera is being adjusted. Okay, so bees will often also make these hexagonal things in their hives, and even between planets, non-planets. Funny thing is that even in stock markets, there are mathematical ratios. So when you think about success, when you think about performance, when you think about beauty, it's not random. It's not like a chaos. It's actually math, and it's actually a blueprint. Now, you must be thinking, great CJ, I'm not an architect. I'm not God. Why would I want to care about ratios? Because when you're designing, your life, when you're designing a, you know, you're creating a brand, when you're creating a business, the more you're aligned with something that has been existing for thousands or millions of years, the more lasting it will become. Great product, like Steve Jobs says, is intuitive, well-made clothes feel natural, certain logos attract the eye more, certain colors attract the eye more. When you're uncertain postures, your testosterone goes up. When you have certain symmetry, people trust you more and even respond to you instantly. So that is cool as well. I mean, you know, it's crazy, but I've never shared this with anyone. Never. But because people might think I'm crazy. But if you look deep, you really, really look deep. This is like woo-woo stuff. Like, even if you look at the way design happens, for example, we have different types of saunas, but like our premium saunas, if you look at certain curvatures, you'll find that there is an aspect of comfort ratio being built in. When you look at the red light therapy and the way it moves, there are geometrical patterns within the light. The cold plunges as well, when they're manufactured, they're not manufactured too large or too narrow, because that will mess up your nervous system and it doesn't allow for certain nerve density and circulation. I'm walking and it's really hot. Did someone switch off the AC? Sorry, I'm talking to my staff right now. Did someone switch off the AC? Can you guys please switch on the AC? I'm like sweating. Sorry. I'm not on the treadmill to sweat. I'm just on the treadmill to, you know, get my brain working. So anyway, let's get back to it. Sorry for the distraction. So let me give you a few things that you can use to improve these ratio stuff again. Super simple. I had this in my course like years ago. When you're eating, chew your food. Chew evenly on both sides, because that, don't chew in the back, just chew on all sides so your facial symmetry becomes aligned to the natural symmetry. Even if you do like just massaging the face, do some like using your tongue on the top of your roof, you close your eyes and do some eye exercises. These small habits actually improve facial balance and the muscle tone that we lose over time, and it enhances your symmetry. And as we said, symmetry is everything. It's 10:44. I need to go soon. But anyways, I'll continue this podcast as much as I can. Anyway, so again, golden ratio for your body. Stand in front of a mirror. Look at your hips. Look at your knees. Look at your shoulders. See if it's aligned. If it's not, do something. Do a V-taper. Tuck in your ribs. Lift your chest. If your back's slouching, do some pull-ups. Do some side planks. Achieve the 1.6 shoulder to waist ratio, because again, everything is about math. Strength is about math. Attractiveness is about math. So get that. The other thing you can do is also design your environment. So if you're decorating your house, use the 60-30-10 rule. When decorating, 60% should be a dominant color, 30% should be a secondary color, and then accent color should always be 10%. Rearrange the furniture also in your house. I mean, there are articles about this. You can look at this. There's the golden rectangle principle, which means that the main object's length should be around 1.6 meters, and then you can move things around. Because honestly, if you have things in a certain geometrical alignment, your focus will improve, your cortisol will decrease, and you can also use it in your work, like time block, do Pomodoro breaks, do breaks according to the Fibonacci sequence, take breaks every 21 minutes, take break every 34 minutes. If you're intensely working on something, take break after 13 minutes. So studies also showed that irregular rhythmic work blocks mental fatigue, and it actually decreases your productivity. So like, don't sit on the screen for hours, don't sit on the screen for like seconds. Have a balance. Also, when you're eating, you know what they say in Ayurveda? When you have your plate, you should have 50% food, 25% water, and 25% empty space in your stomach, which we which we forget. In Japan, Okinawa, they say hara hachibu. That means eat till 80% full. Everyone reminds each other, don't eat till you're full. Have some veggies, have protein, have healthy fats, carbs. All these things actually, all these ancient practices, things that we see from the blue zones, actually mimic what is the optimal thing for digestion. And I mean, these practices has been there forever, right? There are some things called the rule of thirds on your phone. So the most used apps should be on the lower right-hand side of the one-third rule. You can also change how your computer screen looks because if there's a lot of clutter, if there's a lot of clutter around you, good luck. Like, good luck that you will be organized in your life. Not organized, but like, good luck that you'll have less clutter in your brain. Okay, the other thing is blue light blocking. Right now I have a mirror in front. I also have these funny looking glasses here. I forgot mine at home, so couldn't find the blue light blocking glasses. So, but no harm, because I have a blue light filter on my Mac. Use some kind of blue light filter, even in exercise, you can bring on these patterns. The most important thing is, like, stick to natural elements of the planet. Don't do a cold plunge late at night. Not meant to. Don't watch blue light late at night. Challenge yourself actually today to look at patterns. Go outside. You don't need to be a genius. Go outside. Look at your leaves. There are patterns in them. Look at Burj Khalifa. There's probably patterns in them. Randomly buy a coffee and look at faces. People stare. Look at pattern. Look at art. Look at pattern. Find your routine with some sort of a pattern that actually allows you to see and decode the hidden codes that are there in nature. And then once you understand this, extend it to your life. Extend it to your food, like we said. Extend it in your relationships. Extend it in your environment. Extend it with your friends. Extend it to your business. And ask yourself, is there some sort of a balance? Even if you have life goals, there should be some kind of like symmetry. Don't be like, oh, I want to have 20 billion. Like, you could, but you probably, whoa, almost fell off the treadmill. You could, but you got to be really, 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 really smart. You can do it. I'm not saying you cannot do it, but like, start with something that you can. Think about numbers, ratios, patterns, repetition. Before you build something, anything, think about that. Now, something else. This is something that everyone knows, but no one looks at it. I think I heard it from, I was hearing some podcasts and this came in. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. It's about blind spots. That's actually slowing you down. Think about it this way. Your nose is only 1 inch above, sorry, your nose is 1 inch below your, your nose is 1 inch above your mouth. I'm going crazy this morning. This is the lesson. Your nose is 1 inch above your mouth, but you still need someone to tell you that your breath stinks. Think about it. It's crazy, right? How many people, isn't it crazy? Like, has there been times that people have come to you and they've said like, hey, you're stinking, or hey, you smell, or like something in a polite way, maybe your friend, maybe your mother, whoever. It's crazy that our nose is only 1 inch above our mouth, but we can't figure out that our breath stinks. And it's a perfect way to look at life also. If you're too close to yourself, you won't be able to see what's going on with you. That's why you need feedback. That's why you need mirrors. That's why you need, in the modern day, mentors or coaches. I have a lovely intern working for us. She's right here on my left. And like, one of the things she requires, she was very interested to, is like someone to tell her what to do and how to do it, because everything in life has a blind spot, and self-awareness has this huge blind spot that you cannot even sense. From the best performance in the world, you look at athletes, CEOs, artists, designers, they all rely on someone else. Because just like with bad breath, you might be walking around with a problem that everyone sees except you. And it happens with like some of the most famous people in the world. It's not just like you and me. Everyone, you know, Steve Jobs, he had Joanna Hoffman, the only person who would challenge his behavior at Apple. Michael Jordan, how many coaches did he have throughout his, he had a resilience coach, a mindset coach. Ray Dalio, one of the biggest investors, has also this policy in his company called Radical Transparency, because, what was his company saying? Bridgewater. Because he knew that his opinion and his views are very limited. Oprah Winfrey. She has like a tight circle of people that always keep her aligned with her values. Rad Hastings, the guy from Netflix. Man, like these guys had like a very interesting, honest, brutally honest policy where they had to be like crazy honest with each other, because that's one of the only ways they could grow. Even like fell off the treadmill again. Anyway, if you look at ancient books, if you look at the Bhagavad Gita, even Krishna tells Arjuna on the battlefield that delusion arises from attachment, and attachment arises from ignorance. Ignorance of you, ignorance of yourself. When you're too attached to yourself, your ego, or the way you see things, your version of reality, you're not going to accept anyone's feedback. That's why humility is such an important superpower. It makes you respective. It makes you teachable. Crazy. I don't want to comment, but this morning, my colleague Ian told me that there are two countries that have attacked each other. Different views. They're just seeing reality differently, but they're not willing to kind of understand what's the grand scheme of things. Think about a friend or yourself who always dates the same kind of toxic person, and someone tells them that, hey, you're watch out, you're getting the wrong person. Or maybe you're in business, you launch a product that no one wants to buy, you might be solving the wrong problem. And these things are pretty common. You think that you're doing your best at work, you're communicating clearly with everyone, but all of your team, your customers, everyone thinks that like they're confused, because like what you think is right is not actually right. So if you always stay blind to feedback, you will never succeed in life. Imagine like you're always tired, you're cranky, you're anxious, but you don't realize that actually you being on social media is causing that. You not sleeping on time is causing that. You eating shit is actually causing that. But you might just say, it's a genetic problem. It's whatever, I'm unlucky. You might be a victim. But being a victim is not going to solve anything. So what I encourage you to do is find someone, or find like 2 to 3 people, go and ask them today, what is that one thing that you think I can do to make myself better, either professionally or personally? And be that person for someone else. Do a weekly check-in, find a coach, find your friend, find your mother. Don't find your mother. Your mother's you're never going to be wrong in front of your mother, like, period. Ask someone, what am I missing that I'm not seeing? Build your personal, like, I call this the personal mirror exercise. So, like, build 2 to 3 people in your life, which are your, like, your personal mirror, who are not afraid to tell you that your breath stinks. And always remember the most important thing. If someone says anything bad, take a deep breath, it's not easy, and say, thank you. Thank you for your feedback. Let me contemplate, meditate, think about it. Because when you start doing it, you will start seeing a different sort of change in your life. Your relationships might get better. You might not get a divorce. You might even succeed so fast because you're skipping the months, the weeks, years of trial and error because you actually borrowed wisdom from someone else. If you're a leader, man, how great will your team feel when, you know, you're listening to feedback and you're actually doing something? And you build momentum. Life is about speed. Most people don't realize it. I want to live till 150, but most people are not going to last that long. And life goes in a blink of the eye. When I was 16, I never believed it. I still remember this day. I was in school and everyone was saying life will go in the blink of an eye. I didn't remember it. Ask me that same thing today. Biggest misconception. Life does go in a blink of an eye. And blind spots are really dangerous. It's gonna slow you down. Also, you might be like smart, like you might be the smartest person in the room, but there are always gonna be people smarter. Like you might be the smartest person in your family, but like in the grand scheme of things, even if you're a millionaire, you're nothing. You know how many millionaires moved to Dubai last year? It was 2000, just flew to Dubai, going to live here. So what I'm trying to say is, don't be the smartest person in the room. Go into a room where you're the dumbest person so you can learn from the smartest people. And don't wait for a crisis in your life for someone to come and remind you, hey bro, hey sis, your breath stinks. Go today, find someone, ask them, what's something I don't see, but you do? This is going to be the most uncomfortable moment of your life, but the more you do it, trust me, the growth that comes is going to be crazy. Anyways, let me get a sip of water. It's going to be uncomfortable, right? But you're going to grow. Growth is never comfortable. Never. Never, ever, 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 ever. And usually, people are stuck in... This is something I got from Naval Ravikant. If you're stuck in two options and don't know what to do, most of us will choose the one that is easy in the moment, right? And that's how your brain actually tricks you. Naval Ravikant had something really, really, really beautiful around it, like he always does, but like I'll give you my version of it. The lesson, what I learned was short-term pain equals long-term freedom. So the idea is you're faced every day with two choices, right? Equal choices. One will feel hard in the moment, but the second one will be hard later. Now, your brain, the way it works is that it wants to avoid discomfort, okay? But you know who become more successful in life? Who actually take the discomfort. Life rewards people who lean into discomforts early, because every decision is either a pain now or a pain later. But what happens to the pain later is, over a period of time, there's compounding. So the later you wait, the more compounding the pain gets, and it becomes worse. Think about it this way. I'm walking right now, right? It's considered to be a workout. I did gym in the morning. I did jiu-jitsu in the morning. Working out versus skipping it. Short-term pain is your soreness. Long-term pain is actually your health, your strength, your confidence, your brain power. You skip it now, later you're going to have diabetes. You're going to have low energy and you're going to think, why didn't I work out when I was young? Okay, having tough conversations with people. Hard conversations are going to be awkward. They're going to have emotional discomfort. If you choose the easy conversations now, later you're going to have a slow burnout. Most people will have broken relationships and you will always be thinking, why didn't I do this earlier? Starting a business, you know how bad it was for me? It was like starting the business, getting into uncertainty, getting into chaos, learning all these things. I didn't know about anything. Or thinking that, okay, what if 30 years later, I didn't even try? So simple things like this, saying no to junk food versus looking at something and be like, wow, this is so delicious. Right now, you're going to suffer with discipline. Later, you're going to suffer with weight gain. You're going to have energy drips. Your brain's not going to work well. You're going to be addicted. You know how difficult it is to get rid of addiction? It's crazy. I read some studies on addiction, and addiction is like fucking crazy. So don't get addicted. Anyway, why does this happen? Why does 99.99% people do this? Because our brain always wants to avoid conflict, avoid sacrifice, and it kind of like wants to delay the discomfort, like delay in the future. Usually, people suffer much more imagining the pain of doing something than actually doing something. Like, doing something in the moment is not hard. It's a sacrifice, though. Life is about sacrifice. If you sacrifice now, you will get a huge return. Universe will reward you later. But if you don't sacrifice now, you want to be comfortable now, you want to get a small win now, dude, huge, 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 huge things will cost you in the future. In Buddhism, they call this noble suffering. You voluntarily choose some sort of a hardship for freedom, liberation, moksha at the end. And right now, it's even more, sometimes it gets difficult, is because we have so many choices, right? See, your ancestors, my ancestors, we evolved to live in a tribe. You know what's the number of people that we evolved to live around? 150. That's called the Dunbar's number. And now, if you're on Instagram a few times a day, you're going to go through 100 choices. So when you're making choices, choose a harder one. And if it's not a hell yes, then it's a no. It's crazy because sometimes you could get into long-term commitments. Marriage could be a 50-year commitment. Starting a company before you become successful is at least a 10-year commitment. You decide to move cities, at least 15 years of building everything. So choose the right thing. If you're uncomfortable now, trust me, you're going to have freedom later. Don't suffer. Don't suffer. Suffering is crazy. So you're going to have to pay for the pain anyway. Just pay it earlier because now you're young. You have energy. Even if you're old, you're only going to be older. What was that Chinese proverb that says that the only time to plant a tree was yesterday and the second best time to plant the tree is today? So anyway, for you guys, because I have to leave soon. I have an meeting in Media City and it's going to take me some time. So anyways, I have one more lesson and we'll finish it. Ask yourself always, what is the choice right now that is hard but will create more peace for you in the future? And what you can also do is this exercise called reverse visualizing. So plan out each of your decisions 5 years ahead. So what do you become in the next 5 years? Who are you? What do you do? And then ask yourself, in that 5-year person of yours, the choice that you're going to make today, is that person going to tell you, like, do it or don't do it? So every decision will make you sweat. Like, literally, me getting on the treadmill is making me sweat. Someone decided to switch the AC off and it's making me sweat. So anyway, life goes on. Suffering is optional, but pain is inevitable. The more you endure pain, the faster you will grow, because then pain will not be pain anymore. You adapt. You know why Homo sapiens, your and my 1,000 years ancestors are here? You know why our species survived? Not because we're the strongest, not because we're the fastest, not because we're the smartest. Neanderthals were much better than us. We survived because we were the most adaptable, okay? We survived because we could say stories, we could make tools, but primarily humans are one of the most adaptable species on the planet. So, okay. Last one. And then I gotta run. Not run on the treadmill, I gotta run. Anyway, so we were talking about this long game, right? And I told you about this crazy story that I heard about Warren Buffett. So the story is, Warren Buffett once goes for an interview after he finishes university, or he's around in the university. He goes to Ben Graham and he says, like, I wanna work for you. And Ben Graham declines. So this is the story. Let's explore it in detail while I catch my breath. Ooh, give me a second. Been burning, I don't know how many calories. But okay, so basically, the name of this lesson is overprice is actually much crazier than free. Now, why? So sometimes we always want to make money, right? You want to always do things valuable. So when we think about working for free, it's like today's world doesn't understand it. But if you work under someone who can translate values to you, can translate ideas to you, can translate skill sets to you, it's going to be the biggest return on investment that you can do in your life. So the story goes like this, right? Warren Buffett is, he was out of school. And he's full of ambition right from the beginning. You know, he had like lemonade stands when he was like 4. So he goes to Benjamin Graham, who was the father of value investing. And he offers to work for free. And Graham, listen to this very carefully. Graham looks at him and tells him that, Warren, you're overpriced. Warren went and he said, I wanted to work for free. And Graham said, no, you are overpriced. Why do you think that happens? And Ben Graham knew what is the value of being near to him, that the wisdom that he has is so crazy. Buffett himself in his later years said that that moment taught me that knowledge is more expensive than any salary in the world. Ben Graham eventually didn't just teach him how to invest in stocks, but he taught Warren Buffett how to think. He shaped his entire career. He he made him understand what are the values of first principle thinking for value investing. Simple things, but like I'm going to say it very simply, buy things for less than they're worth, you have a huge margin of safety, and when the market has mood swings, that's your opportunity. And Buffett turned this principles into a billion, not million, billion. He made this into a $1 billion empire. So the big idea here for you guys is always try to learn what cannot be taught. Because even like Naval, he says, not everything can be taught, but everything can be learned. And that's the key. You can look at courses. They have this saying, courses create clones, mentors create monsters. But, there are so many courses in the world on how to be like Warren Buffett. Do you think there are millions of Warren Buffett around? No, there's just one of them. And do you think even all those people who took these courses are getting paid 1/8 of what the value of Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway is? No. Because scarcity means more value. If anyone can do it, you're going to get paid low. You're going to get paid average. But when you use and develop specific knowledge, when you get mastery around things which cannot be outsourced, which cannot be copied, which cannot be taught from a textbook, you become irreplaceable. And that's what you want to be. Charlie Munger, peace be upon him, you know what he said? The market isn't that crazy to pay someone what they think they deserve. You don't get paid according to what you think you deserve. You get paid according to the value that you can bring. Okay, not what your mom thinks. Mom thinks you're great, but like, you're getting paid according to what you can bring. So look for opportunities, work under mentors, find someone you admire who's like really, really, really out there, not for getting money from them to work for them, but to understanding their patterns, follow their shadows, stand behind someone who has seen cycles of life, cycles of markets, cycles of everything. And always learn the most important things is first principles thinking. Don't learn how to memorize shit. Excuse my French. Don't memorize shit. Learn shit. Learn frameworks. Use first principles. And always find someone smarter. Don't be the smartest person in the room. Just don't. This is going to shoot yourself in the face. Working under a genius for free is much better than working under someone average, because that genius will allow you to see patterns, or just find a mentor. Mentors can make you dangerous as hell. So that was kind of my takes. If you look at like ancient wisdom, 5,000 years ago, Krishna said to Arjuna, he said, approach the wise, serve them well, and they will impart to you the knowledge that cannot be learned. So back then, there was no other companies to run or emails to do. Back then, it was just service. Service was the currency for wisdom. You couldn't pay to get wisdom. You can't get paid to get prudence, which is one of the most important thing. You do some sort of a service to get it. So always ask yourself, whatever am I doing? Am I learning something? Am I becoming better? Warren Buffett asked that question. You know what is his net worth today? It's $120 billion. Crazy. It's crazy. He's doing businesses since he was like 4 years old. But his greatest investment was working for someone who told him he wasn't worth anything. So chasing money is good, but don't always chase money. Chase the mindset, chase the art, chase the craft, chase the person who forces you to become better than what you are. The right person will teach you things about life, think about business, think about just everything. They'll teach you how to think. And most people need to learn how to think. Trust me, most people need to learn how to think. 11:41. What do we do? Should we close this off? Anyway, so this was my things that I have been learning. Okay, we're on 46 minutes. I was looking for the time. better than what we did before. We were going over an hour. So anyway, I hope this was good for you. I hope you guys have learned something from it, taken notes. If not, just listen back to it. Or actually, do what you want. If you think it makes sense, do it. If you don't think it makes sense, ignore it. Because as we say in the yogic sciences, reality, I mean, there are two ways to think about it. You should experience everything for yourself before understanding it. This is one. But Warren Buffett also says that people will always learn from mistakes, but there is no rule that that mistake has to be yours. So learn from other people's mistakes, learn from other people's wisdom. I wish you the best. I love you all. And yeah, if you want me to keep saying things like this, burning extra calories on the treadmill, let me know. I'll do it for you. Okay, I'm done. See you guys. I'm off for my another meeting. If you guys are in Dubai, catch you soon next week or the 25th. I'll be on stage for the 10 years of Yoga Day. I don't know what I'll be talking about, but probably a panel discussion. So see you there at Keani. Otherwise, check out Biohacking. I love you all. Take care.
Your time and presence with us through this podcast is highly appreciated. If you want to learn more, then head over to our website, www.shiftwithcj.com.